Okay. Well, since you've all preached my message for me this morning, what have I got to say? Okay. Well, I was thinking about Hanukkah, of course. I'm wondering, what on earth can you say about Hanukkah that hasn't already been said, particularly on Friday evening? So I had a look at what the rabbis say, and it was interesting. First of all, it said that you can actually have Hanukkah with just one candle, and you can light one candle. It only has to burn for half an hour. You can light at least half an hour. You can light one candle every day, the same candle every day for 8 days, but you still have to have a shamus to light it with. So the servant light, and the reason for that is that you must not use the Hanukkah lights for any, what they call any profane purpose. In other words, you're not supposed to have it on instead of your main electricity. You're not supposed to sit there and read your book from it, and so on. But the purpose of the shamus is so that you don't use the Hanukkah light for a wrong purpose. So the servant light is the one that lights the other lights. And Yeshua is the servant light. He's the shamus. And he's the one that lights the other lights. So this we've got in John. Jesus was the true light in John 1 verse 9. Jesus was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. So here's Mashiach. He's the one who lights the lights. So that indicates that we're meant to be, and Jesus said, you are the lights of the world. So when you light your Hanukkah, you put it in the window, not so that you can benefit from it, but that the world can see that you are, that to the purpose of being a believer in God is that you share the light with the rest of the world. Now, I'll come back to that. So that's the first thing. So the poorest amongst our Jewish people could actually keep a Hanukkah with just one candle and lighting the same one candle each day for the whole of the 8 days, as long as it burnt for at least half an hour each time. So, but the second one is that the second way that you could, the three ways, the second way that you can keep Hanukkah, according to the rabbis, is that you could have one candle per person in the house every day for 8 days. So then you've got much more light being spread. So every person, every adult in the house lights their own candle for Hanukkah. But the third way is interesting, because the third way, there was a big debate with Hillel and Shammai, the big rabbis that were just before Jesus. Shammai said, you start with 8 candles and you go down from 8, 7, 6, 5, 4 until you get to the 8th day and you only have 1 candle left. And and his reason for that was because he said, Hanukkah is linked to Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. So, and on the Feast of Tabernacles, there are 70 oxen that are sacrificed. On the first day, you sacrifice 13, on the next day, you sacrifice 12, and so on, and it goes down till you've got 7 on the 8th day. So there's this decreasing picture of the purpose of Hanukkah, because it reflects Sukkot. So this is Shammai. Hillel said, no, it's the other way around. He said, you start with 1 and you increase. So each day there's more and there's more and more. So on the 8th day, you have this glorious display of all the light burning. And he said, that's because it's a picture of holiness. And holiness should be, your holiness as an individual should be increasing day by day by day until there is the, you're showing forth what he wouldn't say, but I would say, it's like Paul saying, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when you've got all the lights burning, it's like you've got the glory of God shining out into the world and saying to people, come to the light, come to the light. Don't live in darkness any longer. Come to the light. So this was Hillel. And they had a big, they had a big debate, of course. And on the one hand, this, on the other hand, and it was decided that you would actually start on the right-hand side of the Johannakia with one candle, and you would gradually increase until you had eight on the eighth day. And that's been the pattern, the accepted pattern for Judaism throughout the centuries, so that our Jewish people would do something in unity. There would be the unity of the people all acting in the same way, doing the same thing at the same time, because unity is very, very important. And you remember, it says in one of the Psalms, you know, what a blessed thing it is when brethren dwell together in unity, because that's where God commands the blessing. So it's important. So the unity of our Jewish people is very important in the thinking of the rabbi. So that's a little bit about that. Now, so what am I going to talk about? I thought, shall I talk a bit more about Hanukkah, or is that enough? So, and then I asked the Lord, as you do, and I got the sense that I should be talking about the light. So we're back to Yeshua. He was the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. So let's have a little think about this. I don't know about you, but I have something that came up on my Facebook just recently, from a friend, and it said, memories become liquid and they come out of my eyes and they run down my cheeks. And I thought, oh, what a wonderful expression. And memories are like that. And one of the things that really gets me like that is I was a trombone player in the Salvation Army brass band when I was a teenager, and there were certain pieces of music that we played that always sort of gripped me spiritually. And one of them, you can actually you can hear this played if you go on YouTube and you look at Salvation Army and then find the tune, which is called The Light of the World, and it starts off with a growing sort of crescendo of music, and then it breaks into, oh Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. And I remember playing that as a member of the Salvation Army band in Margate, and it always brings tears to my eyes, because there's something about, I don't know if you've ever played in, if you've ever sung in a choir, or you've ever played in an orchestra, or you've ever been part of a band, or even a little music group, when you hear the songs that are being played, the memories come back and the feelings come back. You know, it's almost like hearing music for me from the 60s. It will be different from others, of course, because they're not as old as I am. But you know what I mean? They bring back memories, they bring back thoughts and so on. And so this tune is called The Light of the World. And it's so significant for me. I love to hear it, but it always brings tears to my eyes. So let's move on a little bit and think about this whole thing about Hanukkah and Jesus being the true light and what that might mean to us. Well, if we look in the book of Ezekiel, we find something amazing happened, and it's recorded there. And it's that if you can follow it through the book of Ezekiel, I haven't got the references in front of me because it's a long time since I did this study, but it talks about the glory of the Lord gradually moving from the Holy of Holies out into the holy place, out into the court of the Gentiles, and then leaving the temple by the eastern gate, the gate that is now bricked up, and the Muslims have got a cemetery in front of it, so that Jewish people won't walk across the cemetery because they'll be defiled. So that they'll stop the Messiah coming in through the east gate. This is the concept. But in Ezekiel, you've got this moving the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory of God, removing itself gradually, little by little, from our Jewish people. And that's a sad story, but it's there in Ezekiel as a pattern, as a picture. So what about this word Shekinah, Shekinah? Well, it's an interesting word because the tabernacle was called the Mishkan, and it means the Mishkan means the dwelling place of the Almighty. He said that, make me a tabernacle and I want to dwell amongst you as a nation, as a people. So this word shachan means to dwell, but it also means to sit or to abide, to inhabit, to settle, to even to attend a meeting or to sit back. And some of you might be sitting back. You might even have gone to sleep. Who knows? Anyway. So here's this concept of this one Shekhinah, this Shekhinah. So then the rabbis are interested in, okay, what does Shekhinah mean? And where does he come? Where does he or she or it come into our Jewish thinking? And then if we look in, if we were to look in the sayings of the fathers, Pirkei Avot, chapter 3, and it says there, when two sit together and words of Torah are spoken between them, the Shekinah dwells between them. So then it goes on to say, through their study of Torah, they gain a glimpse of the divine glory, as it is written. Then they that feared the Lord spoke with one another, and the Lord listened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and thought on his name. The phrase with one another refers to two people of whom it is said that the Lord listened and heard. The divine presence was with them. Now, Yeshua said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So he's claiming to be or to represent that aspect of God, the unity of God, who comes and dwells and is amongst us when we meet together and when we talk together and when we study together the word. And actually, it does go on to say, well, even if there's only one, Shekinah will still come, but he will listen in silence, and he will give us the silence to be able to look into the word of God and to receive blessing and benefit from the word of God, because it's God's living word. So here we have this picture of Yeshua amongst us. He's amongst us. He's God incarnate, but he's God the Holy Spirit, who is amongst us also. He's one God. My daughter Joy tells me off when I try to I had a talk with, I don't know whether I mentioned this before, I had a talk with the pastor of the church that we go to, a free evangelical church, and I said to him, if you look at Hebrews chapter 1, it says that Jesus created everything that was made. Everything that was made was created by Jesus. But so why do we say in the creed, we believe in God the Father, the creator of the heavens and the earth? So then my daughter is saying, oh yeah, but you can't do that. You can't divide the unity of the God up ahead like that. So I think we are justified by saying that when Jesus comes amongst us, it's as if the Shekinah, the glory of God, has come amongst us. When we gather together, two or three are gathered together in his name, then Yeshua, the Messiah, the Shekhinah, the glory of God is amongst us. Amazing, amazing. So then we can move on to some Bible verses about light. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "The Lord is a lamp unto the Lord is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path." We know this one from Psalm 119. Another one from Psalm 119 verse 9. God's commandment is clear, and it enlightens our eyes. So the word of God is like light. And Yeshua is the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's the same word. It's the same word. It's interesting, isn't it, that the first thing that in Genesis that God spoke and created was light. And God said, "Let there be light." But before that, it's also interesting. In the same verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1, in verse 2 it says, "And the Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, was moving, hovering across the face of this confusion." And then Hashem, God says, "Let there be light." So first of all, there's the Spirit of God. And then there's the Word of God. And then there's a revelation of God. "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness." So there's this a progression that goes on, but it's the same as that for our step towards salvation. First, it is that the Holy Spirit brings light to our thinking, and we hear the Word of God. It's like we hear the word saying, "This is the way, walk in it." You hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." It's as if, first of all, the Spirit of God moves us, and then we hear the Word of God, and the Word of God brings us to that place where where Jesus said, "No man's seen the Father, but if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So he's the one who reveals the fullness of the Godhead to us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one unity of God. So we've got it there. We've got these Bible verses. There's some more. In Psalm 119, verse 130, it says that the commandments of the word illuminate even the most unexperienced. That's what it says in the Hebrew translation of that verse. So that's interesting, isn't it? You don't have to be experienced in the Word of God for the light of the Word, the light of God, the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, to light up the Word of God. It's not something you have to have experience about. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. Suddenly the revelation of who Jesus is and what it's all about comes clearly to us. And then there's this quote that I found from Rabbi Hirsch. I like him because he doesn't give us all the rabbis' different opinions and so on. He just takes the Hebrew words and he explains them. So he says, "Light includes movement in the sense of knowledge, perception, insight, and wisdom, and it gives the impetus to the," and he says, "then the willing and accomplishing of moral good." So the light is the thing that we desperately need. And I've said there that first the Spirit, then the light, and then seeing God as he is, as much as we can see him at the moment. And one day we'll see him as he is, and we'll be like him. And I'm looking forward to that day. I'd love to be like like Jesus. So some thoughts there. Now, there's a problem. But I'll come to that in a minute. First of all, let's have a think about Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. And in Luke, Luke chapter 2, verses 25. No, Luke chapter 1, verse 78 and 79. And this is Zacharias, and he's speaking. He's speaking out prophetically about the ministry and the purpose of his son, John. And then he goes on to speak about the ministry and the purpose of the one who John will introduce in verses 78. He says, first of all, John's ministry is to prepare the way of the highest, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. And then he says, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high has visited us. And this word is linked to Malachi, where it speaks of the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings. It's the same concept behind there. It's the way that the sun suddenly bursts out of the darkness at dawn, and everything is changed, and the darkness just has to flee. It can't stay there any longer. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. This is Zacharias speaking after he got his voice back when he said that his son's name was to be John the Baptizer. So we have this picture here. And then we have, that's in the context of Miriam, Mary and Elizabeth, and the Mary's statement. Some you Church of England people will know what I mean. The Magnificat, isn't it? Yeah, that's it. And then, but from the Magnificat, you go on from there to Luke 2, verses 25 to 38, where we read of Simeon and Anna. And I think this is wonderful. And it's the tradition that we had in our family, and we still do it. I have a two-branch candlestick. And one is lower down and the other is higher up. And at Christmas time, I light the two candles and I say what Simeon said. My eyes have seen your salvation, which is prepared in the face of all people. And then he said, a light to lighten the Gentiles. That's the lowest candle. And the glory of my people Israel, and that's the higher candle. So that's my little Christmas candlestick. It's not the same as a Hanukkah, but it represents something that is real and true. And it brings us back to a problem, because the Gentiles and the Jewish people were meant to be a light to the world. So let's move. I don't want to miss out Anna, the dear old Anna, who was also in the temple daily praising God, and she also met the baby Yeshua and his mother and Joseph. And she went out and told everybody that she could find the wonderful news. And it reminds me of John Bunyan. John Bunyan came to the Lord wandering through a town, and they heard two women gossiping the gospel, talking about Jesus to one another, just in the street, in just ordinary, you know, like our wives and the ladies do, talking to one another. They were gossiping the gospel, and John Bunyan heard that, and that was the key to him coming to the Lord. And without John Bunyan, we wouldn't have Pilgrim's Progress. And if you've read Pilgrim's Progress, I recommend to you also read The Holy War, which is the internal walk of the and life of the pilgrim. The Pilgrim's Progress is like the external walking through the life and the problems that we have. The Holy War is about what goes on in the soul of man. It's about a city called man's soul and how Emmanuel comes and rescues the citizens from man's soul to Diabolus, from Diabolus. It's a very interesting book, well worth reading. If you can get a copy, you can get a copy in modern English today, so it's not so difficult to read. So let's just bring this back round to a circle then, because there are two things that are happening here. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of my people Israel. Why hasn't Messiah come? Why are we waited 2,000 years? Now you could say, well, Yeshua, when his disciples asked him that, he said, I'm not going to tell you because I don't know. It's in the Father's authority to decide when that will happen. But there's something about this that I think we ought to consider seriously. And this is this, because neither our Jewish people nor the church has been faithful to their calling. First of all, Israel wanted to keep the blessings to themselves. Yeah, so they weren't too happy when Peter went to the Gentiles with the message of Yeshua. And now the church is doing the same thing. We're keeping the blessing to ourselves. The Great Commission was for all of us, not just a few. And we have two things happening in Scripture. In Romans 11, verse 25, we read that let me look it up. You'll know it anyway. You're probably quoting it to yourself, but I'll read it anyway. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. Whose responsibility is to reach out to the Gentiles? First and foremost, it was the responsibility of the Jewish people. And so when Rabbi Shaul, of Paul, took up this ministry to take the gospel to the Gentiles, he was fulfilling the ministry that was given to the Jewish people anyway, but they didn't do it. And now we have the same situation. The fullness of the Gentiles should come in by the witness of the church to the Gentiles. There's so many of them. So there's one. That's one key to the delay in the coming of Yeshua as the second coming. The second delay is, of course, the one that we're aware of, where Yeshua said to our Jewish people, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Very interesting. Over the door of the big synagogue here in Copenhagen, it says, Baruch Hashem, and then two yods for Adonai over the door. So they're saying, come in, you know, come in, blessed people, come in the name of the Lord into the synagogue. But that's not what Jesus meant. Jesus didn't say, you know, say it to all the Jewish people so they come to shul. He was saying, when the Jewish people say that to me, then I will come and the messianic age will begin, the Sabbath of the centuries, the Sabbath of eternity will start. So we've got a full circle here, but it all revolves around this light. Are we a light to the world? Just to sum up these verses from Isaiah, it's interesting because it's something that our Jewish people say and they disagree with us about. Isaiah 42 and verse 6 says, behold my servant. So hold that in mind, because that's verse 1. Behold my servant, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Verse 6, I the Lord have called thee in righteousness, I will uphold you, I will hold your hand, I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and to them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. So this is talking to the one who he identifies as his servant. Now, isn't it interesting, when we get to Isaiah 51 verse 4, let's see what that says. Hearken to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light to the people. So we have a question. When our Jewish people say, oh yeah, but Isaiah 53 is talking about the servant, the Jewish people is the servant of God, then we have to say, okay, then why didn't you go to the Gentiles? And why haven't their eyes been opened? And why haven't they been brought out of darkness? And why haven't they been released from the prisons? If you are the servant of Hashem, of God, then why hasn't this happened? So it doesn't refer to you, the Jewish people. It refers to Yeshua. It refers to the Messiah. He is the only one who could fulfill this. And in Isaiah chapter 60, we read of the Spirit of the Lord God is upon, he claims is upon me. And he quotes that in the synagogue. And people say, whoa, wonderful words coming out from this man's mouth. And others say, yeah, but he's the son of the carpenter. We all know who he is, you know, so what's so special about him? And it says in the book of Job, finally, just my last word, Job 24, and it's just an interesting phrase that I came across. Actually, I came across it in the rabbis. Job 24, verse 13, and it says, they are those that rebel against the light. They do not know the ways of it, nor abide in the paths of it. And that's where we are today. We are living amongst the people who rebel against the light, who are making it sound as if anybody who believes in Jesus or believes in Christianity or believes in anything like that, you must be bonkers. You know, that's just old fashioned stuff. Nobody believes in that anymore. But we do. We have a responsibility to be a light to this dark world. Each one of us, whether we're Jewish, whether we're Gentile background, it doesn't make any difference. We're all one in Yeshua, the Messiah. And we are called to show forth the light, the true light, the light that came to light every man that comes into the world. Amen.